Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Kelly Bidlin of VSiN, a numbers game producer, host. He does it all. He will join us. We'll go over NFL, his plays for the week, maybe get into some NBA. Haven't dipped our toe too much into the NBA other than my now daily, routinely love of the Thunder and their pursuit of the record. So we'll get his thoughts maybe on that. Some games for Friday, some awards, NFL awards, NFL side. So we'll do a lot with Kelly in a minute. But it's Friday, and that means picks. That means picks and NFL on to week 12. It's 7 weeks left in the NFL season. Time flies when you're having fun. My goodness, it does go by quickly. And you look at college, like some of these teams, Ole Miss, who we were talking about the other day, and like if they lost to Mississippi State, would they be in or out? Mississippi State on a bye this week, and then their last game is against Mississippi. Yeah, Mississippi, their last game is against Mississippi State, and they're off this week. They have one game left. I mean, it's just crazy to think how quickly this season goes by. But let's get into the picks here and try to find some winners here. NFL, I'll start with a team total I really like. You know, Kelly's coming up in a minute. I think he's got a similar play, a play on this game. Seahawks and Titans, just from a DVOA standpoint, Aaron Schatz, who we've had on a bunch of times. Just got to get him on again soon. He has this. Seahawks is his best team. Titans is his worst team. I don't think he's ever had the worst team in DVOA beat the best. And this would be a first. I don't think it's going to happen. I like the Titans team total under 13.5. I just don't see how they score. I just don't see how they move the ball. I actually thought about laying it with Seattle, but outdoors, on the road, off an emotional game, an emotional loss against the Rams. I can't do that. And here's the one thing, too, I worry about, and talked about this a little bit on the Megapod with Gil and Todd and Rufus Peabody, who was our guest. Darnold has a habit of spiraling. Remember last year, he was awful against the Lions, and he couldn't rebound. He couldn't shake, and he was even worse the next week against the Rams, or just as bad. I would worry about that from a team total standpoint, just because if you're going to stay under a team total of 13.5, you basically got to take care of the ball, a turnover or two. It's just there's no margin for error. You throw a pick six, you're basically dead on that bet right away, or give yourself very little margin for error. But I'll take my chances. I'll go Titans team total under 13.5. I'm going to take the Jets plus 13.5. Maybe you hold out and you get a 14 because you're so close to a key number that maybe it's worth the wait. I just don't think Lamar Jackson looks healthy. Look, last week, I think 10 yards rushing. Now, I think he took a knee or two at the end, so it was like 12 yards before that. He doesn't look fast. He doesn't look explosive. He missed practice on Wednesday. His first game, and that was with an ankle injury. He missed it last week with a knee. His first game back after that long extended absence was against the Dolphins. He ran for 14 yards. He ran for 20-something yards the week in between. He just hasn't run a lot, and he doesn't look fast. He doesn't look healthy. And if he's not going to be a dynamic runner, he can be an effective passer. You have Henry, and I know it's the Jets, but he doesn't look like the same player. They don't look like the same team without a healthy Lamar. And you don't really need to run him probably to win this game. You can be conservative, hand it to Henry. He can try to get healthy as the season goes on, which is not always easy in the NFL. But, you know, them winning the game, I don't know, 23-13, 24-13, something like that, where they win, but they don't cover. I could see being in play. The Jets have been okay. The Jets covered two in a row, won two in a row. Then last week probably should have covered against the Patriots, where they either pushed or lost, depending on when and where you got the number. But Jets plus 13.5. Is a play I like. And I wrote about this in my Fox column. Steelers-Bears, I'm going to take the Steelers. It's down to 2.5, missed the 3, but I'll still take the 2.5. I just can't buy into this Bears team. They remind me a little bit of Minnesota 3 years ago, where it's all turnovers. There's a lot of luck. They are plus 16 in turnovers. They have created 22 takeaways. They've only turned it over 6 times. That can't continue forever. Steelers are very good themselves at taking care of the ball. Bears have been outscored on the season. So to me, that 2.5 in a game that's outdoors, you do have the better kicker in Boswell. Like a 21-20 game, eventually the Bears are going to be on the wrong side of these coin flips. So I'll take the 2.5 with Pittsburgh. And last one for me, I like Arizona plus the 3. It's ugly, but they got destroyed the last 2 weeks against Seattle, against the 49ers. And you're buying low here for sure. If you look at the box score last week, they got almost 500 yards of offense against the 49ers. They got almost 7 yards per play. They outgained the 49ers by a huge, huge margin. 250 yards was the differential. 488 to 281, so over 200 yards, not 250, but 209 was the yardage differential. In a game where they got blown out, which is very strange, The look-ahead line on this was the Jags, a one-point underdog. Now they're laying three. Can't quite get to a four-point adjustment. So I like Arizona plus the three. I like the Jets plus 13.5, and I like the Titans team total under 13.5. And give me the Steelers plus the 2.5. Thought about laying it with the Raiders. Then I said, wait, why am I laying points to the Raiders? I think Sanders is awful. I think I went back and watched some of that game. He looked completely overmatched Sunday in that performance against Baltimore, where he had to come in. And boy, that was ugly. So a lot of good games. The one game I don't have a great feel for is the one big game, probably the biggest game of the week. I feel like the Colts are the right side, getting 3.5 against the Chiefs. But it's kind of a low number. Do you really want to fade Patrick Mahomes at home in a game he needs to win? And this is a borderline must win. Not that they're dead if they lose this, because they're going to be favored pretty much every game out. They are going to be favored every game out. But you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're 5-6 and you have to win six in a row just to get in the playoffs and have to win another four to win it, which is why I think the Chiefs are in a tough position here, where they're basically got to win, 10 out of 11 games to hold up the trophy or something like that. I think the Colts are probably the right side. I didn't have the guts to actually pull the trigger on that. The other interesting one, and I don't have a play on it, seems like somebody thinks Burrow is playing for Cincinnati. That line has come all the way down to 5.5. That got up to 8.5, I think 9 in some spots. I know it did get up to 9 in some spots. You wouldn't move 3.5 points on maybe Burrow's playing, maybe he's not. If it was 50-50, it would be more in the middle. I think this line, you never know with this stuff. We've seen in Ravens games where Lamar, they thought he was in and he wasn't, and vice versa. But this is a pretty significant move with Cincy down to 5.5. Not that I want any part of Cincy, not that I want any part of the Patriots, because the Bengals have all sorts of issues with Burrow back. But maybe the Patriots are due to drop one of these games once in a while. You figure maybe the rest of the team gets a lift with Burrow playing. You know, if Burrow does play, running or just escapability is a big part of his game. Coming off the toe injury, can he be that mobile quarterback and get away from the pressure? I'm not sure, but that is something to monitor at least. And the total has corresponded. That's gone up to 51.5. So I think Burrow's playing. Market seems to think he's playing. I think he's playing. Would probably tick down a little bit further. I don't know that you get to like 3 or 3.5 if he's announced in, but maybe 4, 4.5, something like that. So those are the plays mentioned on Wednesday. I like Missouri and I liked Florida college football, and then throwing Charlotte getting just a ridiculous amount of points against Georgia, who never covers these big numbers. Missouri's getting 7.5. Florida getting 4.5. Tennessee has had all sorts of issues in Gainesville over the years. So a bunch of plays, a bunch of dogs getting points. Hopefully we have a good week. Hopefully Kelly Bidlin will have a good week. I'm sure he will. He is up next. This Should Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. He is, I would say, the best producer on the planet. You can catch him a numbers game. Wow. Long shots of the podcast. It is Kelly Bidlin. Talk a little NFL, maybe talk a little NBA too. Kelly, what's going on? Thanks for coming on.
Of course, Will. Happy to be back, man. Thanks for having me on. I think there's plenty more talented producers out there than me. But I appreciate it, Will. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we'll do the producer
rankings. I barely produce these days, man. Danny Higgins is above me on the producer depth chart for a numbers game right now. Come on, he's doing mainly everything these days.
Oh, is that true? Danny Higgins has been getting a lot of airtime lately, so I was wondering how that that pecking order worked out. But we'll save the producer rankings for maybe a slower show in the summer.
Yeah, like let's July get into these. Yeah,
July All-Star break. Right. Let's get into the NFL. You got a bunch of plays here. I'll give you the floor. What is your favorite play? You could only bet one NFL game this week, side or total. It's almost like the opposite of the Megapie question of the game you want no part of. What is the game you want all the part of? What's your favorite game this week?
Okay, so here's the thing. What's weird for me is I bet a lot of openers in the NFL, Will. I don't know about you. We rarely have this talk, I feel like. But I bet a lot of openers. And, you know, I see what the rest of the week gives me, right? There were a couple I loved on open for unders that I will still throw out there because I still like them at current numbers, but they have moved. But then, I'll be honest, there's a couple I added today that I really didn't expect to be adding, and I think another one we will talk about at some point, Patriots-Bengals, that I've got my eye on as well that I might be adding here at some point. I'll say the one bet, though, if I could only make one, I will go Vikings-Packers under 41.5. I think this Packers defense has been consistently awesome throughout the entire season. Vikings have a major problem at quarterback right now. I just don't see that changing overnight anytime soon. And honestly, the Packers, I wouldn't be laying 6.5 with them, though. This team has struggled to cover these big numbers against the spread. I think they're 3-7 ATS on the season. I'm not really super confident the Packers blow them out. And this offense needs to find some consistency. The injuries on that side of the ball, tough for them. And Kraft was having a great season before he went down. I think that really hurts them. You know, Christian Watson coming back and looking like his old self has been great, but who knows how long that will last, right? I mean, geez, I hate to have that attitude with Christian Watson. Every time I see him make a good play, it's like, all right, hopefully they get more than a week or two out of this. So, yeah, I will go under Vikings-Packers. The other one I bet at open that I really liked was Seahawks-Titans under 42.5. Kind of similar reasoning there. This one's moved a bit more. I think it's down to like 40.5 now. I still don't hate it. It's just, this Titans offense has not been able to get anything going. I don't know why we would expect this week they're going to do it against Seattle. Top five defense all around, especially at them coming off a loss last week to the Rams. I think this is, it's got Seahawks blowout written all over it, and they limit the Titans to 10, 13 points, something like that.
Yeah, I think if I could only play one thing all weekend and you were, I was able to play team totals, Titans team total under 13.5. Like, how does that team get to 14 points? Yeah. And you know what? I'll answer my own question. We talked about this a little bit on the Megapod with Rufus Peabody. And as soon as I was about to say it, Rufus mentioned it, and he set it up, and I used the word spiral. Darnold has a habit, just knowing this from the Vikings last year, he had a bad game against the Lions, and it leaked into the next week. Darnold has a habit of spiraling, and that would be my concern of he gets in his own head, you know, with a quote years ago where I'm seeing ghosts out there. I'd worry that he doubles up on a bad game here. He turns it over, and you know, 13.5 is such a low bar where if you start turning the ball over, that 14 can get there. But I just don't see the Titans moving the ball.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's like, look, I think it is going to be interesting to monitor what's going on with him, because that is, I've never been a Darnold supporter really of any kind. I've never been that high on him ever since day one. And I think for a lot of people who've given him some breaks, it's always the list. You listen to the football people, right? Oh, he's got such a great arm and great motion, everything. It's just guy that continuously gets jobs. And I'll be honest, Will, even last year in Minnesota, I was like, meh. Like, the way it finished, I was like, yeah, we should have seen this coming. But I bought in on Seattle a couple weeks ago, man. I grabbed a ticket for them to win the NFC. I just thought the rest of the roster was too damn talented. And really, I think there's a good chance we saw the game of the year with Rams Seahawks last week. And yeah, what happened? The interceptions were the difference in that game.
See, Eagles laying 3 to the Cowboys. I find this game fascinating because I've considered betting all four sides. At one point, that's a pretty low total for a Cowboys game. But, hey, the Cowboys new and improved defense, a bunch of reinforcements. Eagles got better defense. Maybe I like the under. And then I could see both sides of it where, boy, that 3 looks cheap on Philly. But then Dallas, if they're going to be better on defense with this elite offense, maybe they cover it. So, I mean, when you're thinking, start to think that way, it's a pretty easy stay away. How are you looking at this game with the Eagles laying a field goal?
It's funny you say that, Will, because I think the initial reaction, that was me all over the place, too. I've been back in the Cowboys here a little bit the past few weeks. Got burned on them bad. What was that, Arizona game, right, 3 weeks ago, I believe, unless I'm making that up. And then, look, I was heavy on them against the Raiders, so that was a great win. I've been kind of buying into this, and yeah, sure, the defense looks better, but it's the Raiders. How much can you take away from that game? I'm like you. I kind of thought about this all around. And I initially was looking at the Cowboys. I think I'll throw some Dak numbers out there and everybody can take them for what they're worth. But 21-2 straight up home against the NFC East and 6-1 against the Eagles at home. That's a pretty damn impressive resume. Obviously, teams look different every single year, so take those trends for what it's worth. But man, I was first looking that way, but once this got down to a flat 3 today, and I could bet it at -110, I'm like, man, I don't think this number should have adjusted this much off of where it opened at after that Monday night game. If I expected the Cowboys to do that and I bet it that way, then this number shouldn't really be rocketing down like it is.
Last one here, Monday night, 49ers laying 6.5, 7, mostly 7 against the Panthers. This 49er defense, I know they've overcome all these injuries and stuff. I just don't know that I trust the 49ers. Not that I want any part of Carolina. If anything, it'd be over for me. How are you looking at this game with the Niners laying a touchdown here, looking like they could be at least a playoff team?
Yeah, this was another one, Will. I think on open, I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's a heavy lean to the Niners side. Let me wait for team totals to open up and see what I can get. I was thinking the whole time, if I can get over 27.5, that's the bet I want to play. Just take the spread out of the equation, like you're talking about. Expect to see points. I think this Niners offense is looking really good right now. We obviously saw that on display last week against Arizona with Brock Purdy back. And I've always been a Brock guy. Mac Jones obviously was amazing filling in this entire time. But I've been a Brock guy. I think he does add a little bit extra to this offense, all those pieces back healthy on that side. That was the spot I first looked at. But I really shopped those around today, and the ones that were out there were mainly all 28.5s. At that point, there was 1 6.5 left on the board. I saw, went and grabbed that. I had to lay 120 for it, but I did lay the points with the Niners. Man, this Panthers team for, 2 years now, I can't get a good read on them, Will. I don't know about you, but it's, you know, Bryce Young, you good, you bad? What does the rest of this roster look like? You know, like, some weeks, like, the defense, like, steps up a bit. Sometimes they just completely fall flat and look like one of the worst defenses in the league. I haven't been able to get a great read on this team for 2 straight years now, it feels like.
I'm with you on Young. On the right day, he looks like he could maybe be, I don't know, top half of the league quarterback. That's not many days, but he has his moments, and then he has other moments where it's like, all right, what team on the CFL could use a quarterback? Right, does not look like exactly. He belongs in the NFL, and then there's a lot of days in between. It's very bizarre. Any awards you think are worth betting on right now? I know we talked about a numbers game. Dart, if he's actually going to play this week, which is kind of trending that way, +240 rookie of the year, it's not bad, of course. He got to win some games at some point. They're 11-point dog. They only have 2 wins. Risk of re-injury, risk of him coming out when he's conservative and doesn't run, which hurts. So not that that's a great bet, but I don't think that's a bad bet. That or anything else in terms of awards you would bet right now?
Man, I think there's a lot that are fascinating right now. I'll start with MVP. I know we're recording this before Thursday Night Football, so if you're listening to it afterward, you know, obviously you know the result and you'll know where this thing shifts. But Josh Allen and the Bills go and put up a good performance tonight. I mean, this MVP race, I think, is closer to a 3-3.5-man race with Jonathan Taylor not completely out of it either. I think that one's fascinating. I don't really have a bet, but if I had to bet something on the board right now, it would be Josh Allen. But I know, again, most people are going to be listening to this after, so Bills win. That looks really smart. If they lose, not so much. Look, I think the offensive rookie of the year, and I know you've got a ticket on him. I agree. We talked about this a bit the other day. I think if you're telling me Dart's coming back this week and the plan is to play him for as many games the rest of the season, I think 2-1's a great bet. It's just up to you on how you feel really about how you think the Giants are going to handle this situation. You talked a little bit about it today on the numbers game with Gil. Is Dart rushing him back? Are we going to tell them without Neighbors, without Cam Scataboo, that you can't go out there and run like you're used to running? That completely changes the way he plays. And I don't know if you're setting him up for success if that's the case, to go out here and capture this Rookie of the Year award. I think it's really fascinating with him, and it's tough to judge when it comes to concussions. But man, I was the guy beginning of this week that was like, just shut him down for the rest of the year. I think he showed me enough. I think you at least got a quality project there in place, and I'm just scared if he gets his head hit again, this turns into a Tua situation where that's all anybody can talk about for the entire offseason. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. But again, if you think Jackson Dart's playing every game the rest of the year for the Giants, yeah, 2-1 on a quarterback in that offensive rookie of the year race, I think that's pretty good. I think defensive rookie of the year is still completely up in the air. Schlesinger would be the guy if it ended today, but I think there's possibility that this is one of those wild years where someone comes on late and is able to make a case for themselves. So that one I'd be staying away from. I think offensive player of the year is absolutely done and over. I would not be as great as JSN has been. I'm not betting that at +260. It's going to go to Jonathan Taylor as long as he doesn't get hurt. I think the one crazy one I got for you, Will, is, I don't, you know, 2 days ago it was only -200 over at DraftKings. Shop around. It's -300 now. I don't think -300 is a bad price to lay with Myles Garrett. I think he's pretty much wrapped this up. I know DraftKings has the prop up of where he's going to break the record. If you don't want to lay all that, I actually think the prop to break the record is a good bet too. I think he's going to do it. I think we're at that point. I know we're coming off 9 sacks in the past 2 games. Like, yes, competition down the stretch is going to matter, but now if you're ever considering you're not going to get another chance at this low a number after they play the Raiders, in my opinion. I mean, you could have a monster game against the Raiders, and this thing's all but over.
Boy, I think there's a chance. I'm not great with football records. Is it Strahan?
Yes, right? Sack record.
Okay.
Yeah, Strahan. With the records, 22.5.
Yeah, and that was the one where Favre gave it to him. He thought he was doing the right thing. And his linemen got really pissed off because they worked all game to, like, uphold that record. And, like, hey, we're not letting him get the sack against us. Then Favre's like, I'll just give it to you, and I'll just slide and let you touch me. That was, boy, that's like 25 years ago now. It was like 01, 02, something like that.
I know. He's got 15 sacks. He's got 15 sacks, and he's still got 7 games left to play. This is
crazy.
It's crazy, but, like, this defense is playing good. I know it's wild because they only have a couple wins, but I don't think that will matter when it comes down to the voting. I mean, what's going to be really wild is if the Browns walk away with, you know, 2 awards and 2 wins at the end of the season, because that's what they're in line for right now. But, I think there'll be 1 or 2 voters that hold that against him. I don't think that happens, though.
The one I keep looking for, they posted before the season, and they posted it for the first, 4 to 6 weeks. Assistant coach of the year will have Cooter at 200-1, but that has not been reposted. I'm starting to worry that, like, same side of the ball is Steichen. Are they really going to give the Colts Taylor and Steichen for coach of the year, and then Cooter assistant? I don't know. Maybe they give it to McDaniels, but I'd at least like to see where I'm at and see the market.
Right.
That's always reflective.
I do think it's interesting. We brought this up, after the fact, but week 2, week 3, where some of these markets that they're just kind of flirting around with, you got to be careful with that, right? Like, if it's a market you're not seeing posted at every book, like, these books can just take it down and not repost it again without them having to worry about you going and betting somewhere else because nobody else is posting it. So I don't know. That's like my bit of warning. I think with some of these new awards that, I mean, you know better than me, I feel like there's been ones added in baseball here recently of what you can bet on. And, like, right? It's just you don't know if these books are going to continuously repost throughout the season, and it makes it tough then. Yeah, you really got to go in with whatever your bet was preseason. Will, I want to ask you, coach of the year. Like, I know you're at Steichen back to 2-1. Vrabel, odds on now? Like, I know there's some other books. I saw him getting close to, like, minus 200 today. There's a lot of steam coming in on Vrabel. I think he should be the favorite. I don't know if I'm there that he should be odds on. What do you think?
If I had to bet anyone right now, it would be McDonald at plus 850 just because if they can rally, I know they lost to the Rams, but if they can rally and be the 1 seed or the 2 seed, he's not going to be plus 850. Again, Vrabel's the favorite. He's the rightful favorite. But bang for your buck, I don't think there's any value on Vrabel.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I guess I would say that too, but Will, I got enough McDonald bet at this point already that's not one I need to add, but I hear you. For other people out there, I think that's still the swing I would take too. But understand, you need Seahawks probably to grab that 1 seed. Yeah, I think you need to know that.
Yeah, and if nothing else, win the division, I think would be a prerequisite. Before we move on to some NBA stuff. Now,
you know, come yeah, back. I'm exactly. sweating. I'm loaded up on Dak from preseason and the week 2 or whatever. And hey, this is, I know it's going to sound corny. I know I'm a bit of the comeback player of the year guy. What a race, though. What a race. Like, to me, it is so clearly defined. You've got 2 horses. They check every box, and they are both having incredible seasons with Prescott and Christian McCaffrey. And I think right now, my money's dead. Like, if it had to go today, it is McCaffrey, hands down, no question about it. But we got several games left to play, and I think it is a race between those 2 down the stretch.
Yep, totally agree. Who wins the Super Bowl?
Oh, jeez, isn't that the best question that you could possibly ask right now? Okay, let's see. I'll stick with my Seahawks in the NFC because I really just bet that a couple weeks ago. Not that much has changed. Seahawks and I'm gonna go with my squad still, Willie, because I bet this exacto a few weeks ago. Buffalo and Seattle. Josh Allen.
Is that an old AFC? Oh no, the Seahawks were in the AFC West back like decades ago, right?
Right.
They weren't in the AFC East. Colts were in the AFC East back before the realignment. Who wins? So I'm guessing you would take the Bills in that matchup?
Yeah, if the Bills have gotten to that point, then things are obviously clicking and some of these guys that have been injured are back, right? So, yeah, I'll go Bills over Seahawks. How about that? Go with
yeah, the
Bills on the
make
biggest
a Super Bowl,
stage.
They're a lock to win it based on history, of course.
That's fair. Super Bowl coming down to Buffalo. I like it.
I say that as a Vikings fan who's also 0-4 for his teams in the Super Bowl. Not that I was alive or saw any of them.
What do you think about this prop I just stumbled upon yesterday? The first time winner prop, if I can find it right now.
Those always hurt my brain. Sometimes I look at them and go, I just like have to do the math of like, I don't know, the 4 to 6 teams you think could win it. And then I'm like, oh, I'm getting this team. I've seen that. The NBA a couple years ago, I thought it was interesting. The year the Nuggets hadn't won yet and they ended up winning. But it's just like so many moving parts where I have to sit down and just like math it out. And it's just, I don't know. What is the number?
All right. So the no's minus 450. Your yes is plus 340. The yes would get you the Bengals, the Bills. I'm only going to mention teams, I guess, that could possibly stand a chance. Bengals, Bills, Chargers, Jaguars, Lions, Texans, Vikings, Panthers. I'm literally gave everybody that has a shot. Teams I left out were Browns,
Bills and,
Cardinals.
So Bills and Lions, pretty much.
Bills and Lions, yeah. Unless you're a big believer in Joe Burrow and the Bengals or what? McCarthy and the Vikings figuring things out. This Texans defense carrying them all the way. Or the Chargers all of a sudden getting healthy and figuring things out.
I guess you have to throw the Jags in there. I got to kind of dismiss the Chargers just with all of those injuries. Bills are 8-1 before Thursday Night Football. Lions are 11-1.
It's a fun one to have.
It's probably, if there's any value on it, it's slight. I don't know that I'm like cutting in line to bet it. Do you like that?
No, not necessarily, because I think you're right. I think it's probably Bills-Lions, but I always like bringing these up. I mean, in theory, you could roll. If you did bet that, you'd roll into the playoffs with 4 or 5 teams live. So
they
got
a bunch of teams to root for.
It's
a fun.
Right?
I get the fun aspect to root for it, where you've got action on 5 teams and you just kind of root them all along. So I get that aspect of it. So I don't mind that.
The other one actually that caught my eye was over in the NBA. It was the which division to win the title, because the Northwest is minus 120. But I'm like, that gets me Thunder and the Nuggets. That's pretty sexy. I haven't done the actual math though, like you just did. Of like, I'm sure I'm still better off. Yeah, Thunder plus 185, Nuggets 5-1. But man, those two teams, whew, they damn.
Those two teams is right. I mean, that's to me. I thought when they played in the second round last year, I thought that was the finals. Then it got a little dicey, went to a game 7 for OKC, but it ended up being that game 7. Remember, it was 2-2, thinking, you know what, and it was tied. I think, not tied, it was tight, and Denver had a lead. I thought, whoever wins this next couple of minutes is probably winning the series. If Denver goes up 3-2, they get game 6 at home, they'll probably win and win it all. And same for OKC. That leads me into OKC. I've been talking about this nonstop. I'll ask it this way. If somebody gave you, I don't know, $10,000, say, how many wins exactly does OKC have? What number would you reply with?
70 on the dot. How about that?
Okay.
Does that make us more fun
70s.
Or worse? The low 70s. That's it. 70.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Down to 11-1 at DraftKings to break the record. Do you have access to, are Vegas books posting these, and do you think there's any value on that?
I have not seen one, but I'll be honest, I haven't checked. Caesars, I feel like, would be the only one that would post it. I haven't seen them. I'm just going over to Cleaning the Glass right now. Expected wins 73.8 for Oklahoma City.
Wow.
I mean, look, they're going to be there's I don't hate the bet. I don't hate it at all. This team is deep. Its star player is at a position that you rarely see injuries with. And his style of play, I don't think, is going to lead to him having a lot of injuries throughout his career with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, God, we haven't even seen Jalen Williams on the floor yet. The depth, that 1 year older, this team was built to cruise through the regular season. I'll be honest, Will, I don't have any championship futures or anything on these guys yet. I got enough of a scare out of that Denver series last year when I was loaded up on Thunder tickets that, like, this is, it comes down to superstars in the playoffs, right? And Nikola Jokic is just so hard to keep down, I think, year after year. I know they've loaded up this roster with Hartenstein and Chet and these guys to help slow that down, but I would be betting Denver right now if I had to bet any one single team win the championship.
You know, as long as OKC breaks the record, they could pull the Warriors. Last team to break the record was the Warriors, who lost, in the playoffs in the finals. As long as they break the record, I don't care what they do in the playoffs. They get swept in the first round by the Kings. I don't really care what the hell.
I have an over bet on their win total from preseason, so it's not like I was far off from where you're thinking at just a few weeks ago. It's just, it's a marathon. You know that. We are going to be talking about this heading into freaking April. I mean, whether this is live or not.
I mean, 74-8, 75-7, those are absurd records. So to even suggest I think it's going to happen. I know it's still a stretch and it's still a long shot, but I think it's super live. And not that I suggest making a bet and then hedging it like immediately every night, but look at what they're laying every night. They won on Monday night. They won by 17 points on the road. They didn't cover. They won by, I think, 14 on Wednesday night. They didn't cover. Here they are on Friday night. They're laying 17 on the road. Like, so you can say, if you're scared about a particular game, you can take points the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what is it? Was it only 17? I thought I saw 17.5 for tomorrow. Oh, no, you're right. It's come down a bit. Down. There's some Jazz action. Yeah. I actually thought someone was going to force me to bet the Jazz. I've done it too many times already this season, Will. I'll tell you that much.
Last one, just give me an NBA takeaway. Games you like for tomorrow or something you feel differently about than a month ago when the season started?
Oh, man, I think we could do a whole podcast on that, because that is, you make NBA futures bets before the season. There are some ones that just within a month you feel real good about, you feel real bad about. I've loaded up on some Raptors and Hawks overs. Okay, liking what I see so far, although the Hawks are going to have to figure out this whole Trae Young situation. The LA teams, oh boy, did I get that ass backwards. I got over on the Clippers win total and an under on the Lakers win total. And this Lakers team has been very impressive. I'll tell you, though, right now, Will, I didn't bring them up. They're the third best team, though, to me in the NBA, and I think long-term, too. This Houston Rockets team is just incredible right now. They are better. I still thought they were going to be third or fourth best team in the Western Conference, and I think they're the third, maybe to be right now with the Nuggets. But man, what they are doing so far this season is just incredible. 10-3 on the season, offensively and defensively. You got the best offense, the fourth best defense, a third best spread differential of what they're covering by. It's incredible. I think all of us thought, hey, you're kind of one Kevin Durant away from being a real team. But if you get a chance to watch this team this year for multiple games, there's things carrying over from last year. They kind of got redundant, I thought, adding Clint Capella in a bad way. I think there's some redundancy in the NBA that can be great. I didn't really understand the Clint Capella ad in the offseason. Now you watch these games and it's just, hey, get Kevin Durant a look. Hey, he made it. Oh, wait, he missed? We've got two guys that can go swoop in for an offensive rebound, no problem. And guess what? Kevin Durant runs around to the other side of the court and he launches off another one. He's ain't missing twice. So it's wild. I thought the Fred VanVleet injury was going to affect them way more. I do think no matter how good or how excited we get about this team in the regular season, that's still a glaring hole going into the playoffs, just relying so much of your offense going through being initiated by Amen Thompson, by Alperen Şengün, by Kevin Durant. It's just, it's a lot to ask, I think, on those young guys to step up and be a facilitator in that offense in the playoffs.
All right, Kelly. Appreciate it, man. This was fun. Who's going to be next Florida State football coach? Is Norvell staying or going to get somebody else?
Boot his ass out. I don't know. Give me anybody. Sign me up. I mean, I got like a blank checkbook, right? Come on.
That would be a splash. That would be an out-of-the-box hire. If nothing else in Florida State, that would be an out-of-the-box hire.
Oh, man. I will say, Will, real quick before we go, for Friday night, I haven't bet it yet, but just speaking of these two teams, I think we got the game of the year in the NBA Friday night with the Nuggets at the Rockets. This is group play for the NBA Cup. Not that I care that much about that aspect of it, but man, I want to see what this Rockets team looks like going up against Denver. It's going to be Rockets or nothing for me on the bet. They're laying like 2 right now on open is what the opening line was. So I lean that way. And then the other one, I think it's another fun game. Minnesota at Phoenix, man. I had to do a double take when I saw this line on the open. Man, Wolves, like, this is way too much of an over-adjustment from where we thought these teams were at before the season. I know Phoenix has been awesome. 6-2 over their last 8 straight up in ATS. They got the 5th-best net rating over that time. Minnesota hasn't started off great. My God, the only thing that's cooled me off, Will, is pulling up these schedules. They've both played very weak schedules so far, especially Minnesota. So I really pulled up openers, and I thought I was going to go in and hammer that one. I'm going to back off a little bit, see where the line moves, see if Phoenix is already taking a little bit of money. So that's one I got my eye on for Friday, too. I got my eye on.
Kelly, you're the best, man. Where can we find you?
Yeah, over at Twitter, at Kelly Bidlin. Wow, I forgot my own Twitter handle for a second. Yeah, at Kelly Bidlin over on Twitter. And then obviously VSiN.com for all the great work that everybody does around the network. But for all the plays and everything like that, that's where you can find it. I would say check out Long Shots, but we finally got like the first month and a half off for the first time. So anybody out there that did listen to Long Shots at all this season, much appreciated. There's a lot of work that goes into that podcast. We did 41 episodes this year. That is 41 weeks of golf that we are talking throughout the season. So really appreciate everybody that had listened and has subscribed and rated throughout the way. We will be back in January and looking forward to it.
Cal, you're the man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Will.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Contest is coming. Don't worry, we're figuring it out, but it is coming soon. Leave a review on Apple. You'll be eligible. We'll announce that soon here in the next couple of days. But rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening. Be back Monday.